This is a Pinball News production.
How's everybody doing today? First of all, I got to apologize. Normally we'd stand for something like this, but I threw my back out yesterday carrying my RFM upstairs. So that, and I'm on Darvocet. So if I say anything too crazy, we'll blame it on the drugs today. Well, Don's out getting a drink. How many people here have a new core system? Okay. You might be able to win one. We'll go into that in a bit. Since last year, we've done actually a lot and added a lot to new core, with the most recent addition being the tournament mode. How many people are familiar at all with the Williams tournament mode on Pinball 2000? Okay, got a couple more. At the very end of the Pinball 2000s, they built in and they put it in, according to some of the old programmers, in about a week, a couple weeks maybe, a tournament mode that would allow you over a LAN to connect multiple Pinball 2000 machines and actually conduct a tournament using those machines tied to a centralized server. Now, that was intended to tie to a server that actually sat physically in a room with the machines. So over a LAN, at the time the internet wasn't nearly as popular as it is today, and there was no real way to run it easily over the internet. A couple years ago, a gentleman in the UK created a system, MyPinballs, where he wrote his own server, and you could actually use a tournament mode, but it required the one card that Williams supported, which was the SMC 16, I forgot, and it required a special router. Because without going into too many technical limitations, the machines expected to receive information like this since they were sitting right next to each other. Well, over the internet, as we know, machines don't always receive data that fast. So you had to take an off-the-shelf router and hack it in order to make it work. And then on top of that, you had to buy a card reader. So how many people actually have a card reader? How many people know what a card reader is? So not real fun to get going. There's a lot of technical hurdles, actually, to get it going. And besides that, due to the technical hurdles, there weren't a lot of people who actually used the system. So when we created New Core, we had a number of goals in mind, and we met about 95% of those goals upon release. The one goal we didn't meet on release was emulating the network card in the system. It's a whole nother beast in and of itself. And we wanted to make sure we could get the system out on time and let people enjoy the majority of what NewCore does. So that's what we did. We spent the last year, various times, actually, first of all, emulating that SMC board that Williams supports, the very one network board, which we were able to do. And then number two, overcoming a lot of the technical hurdles to enable these machines to talk over the internet without any special hardware. That's what NewCore 2.0 does today. Actually, NewCore 2.0 will do when we release it in a couple of weeks. It doesn't require any special Ethernet adapters. It works with whatever Linux supports, and Linux supports just about anything. Usually the motherboard that you're going to buy for NewCore has a built-in Ethernet port. That'll be supported. You use your same router that you use to access the internet in your house. You can use wireless, although wireless is a little more tricky to get working on Linux. But nothing special is required. You set up your machine, and we'll give you a guide on how to do that, and you'll be able to connect with any other new core owner to a tournament system which can be hosted anywhere in the world. As a matter of fact, we're going to run, as some of you know, how many people are already familiar with the tournament we're going to be running? I got a couple of them. Good. We're actually hosting a tournament over these next 2 days, starting tonight and finishing up tomorrow night, where our machine, my machine actually, the RFM, in the vendor hall, is going to be hooked up to the tournament server. And if you sign up today, and you have to sign up after the seminar, we have entry forms, you can come play a game on the machine, and if you get the high score, then you win a free NewCore base package, which is a $400 value. We're giving away two of them. We're giving one away to a pro division and an amateur division. And we delineate those two by going the top 250 players from Whopper Points are in the pro division, so you don't have to worry about somebody like Lyman Sheets coming up and automatically winning. So two of those, it's going to be great for people who have RFM systems or Star Wars. It's something you definitely want to enter, and it's free and it's fun. So it will demonstrate what we can do with the tournament system. Part of that is we had initially actually planned to hook our system today up to the servers in the UK and run the tournament there. Due to all sorts of strange stuff that happened, he decided to close his site down or is in the process of doing so. And so what we did is we actually ended up writing our own tournament server. And there's some advantages to that. Before we were going to rely on other people to actually host the tournament servers, we've created our own version of a tournament server. When we release NewCore 2.0, we're going to give an open source code version of that out to everyone. And the neat thing about that is we've implemented the basic features of the Pinball 2000 tournament system. But since it was kind of hacked together in a week, and I'm not saying that, the old Williams guys were, we hope to add new features and new capabilities to this tournament system, and that's why we're putting it in your hands, you know, in the programmers, in the crowd's hands, so that if you think up something really cool, you can augment this tournament system, add to it, extend it, do anything you want with it as long as it still works, and turn it into more than we maybe even thought of today. So in addition to us releasing the NewCore 2.0 software, we will be releasing a public tournament server, of which we have one of our own online that, you know, NewCore users can plug into day one. It's actually available for the beta testers right now. But without any setting up anything, you'll be able to connect to it. So we think it's really exciting, and a lot of people have come to us over the last 2 years and say, one of the biggest reasons that they want a NewCore system is they want the ability to use a tournament feature without using the, you know, specialized hardware that's required. So we're kind of excited about that. I'm going to let Don talk a little bit about the server since Don hasn't done any talking. Don said if he went on Survivor, he would be the guy that won because nobody would know who he is. Every week during the voting, they'd say, who's that guy in the corner? And everybody'd say, I don't know. And he'd walk away with $1 million. So I'll let Don talk for a couple minutes.
I hope to do that.
Okay, well, the server operates on UDP. It's not TCP/IP. It basically, these very small packets are sent back and forth. We start out at the beginning of the game. It asks basically for the server to send a list of all the high scores and the people that got them, their picture. We haven't implemented that yet, but we will. And then it, once you start the game up, I left out one thing. We added our own feature to the game. Originally, as Chuck was saying, you had to have this card reader, and what would happen is you would go to Williams, you would sign up, you would give them some kind of icon or pick it out, and you give them your name, and it would already be on the server. And the same with this server that was in the UK. We've taken that away. Now you just basically hit a secret keystroke, and it pops up with a speller, basically, where you enter your name, and then it goes to the server, and you record it automatically. That way you don't, if someone just sits down at your machine, they don't have to pre-register or any of that kind of stuff. So we've added that. That's basically a secret packet that wasn't supported by Williams, and we're supporting that. But we can still work with the older systems as well. So once that gets going, you basically play, and at the end of the game, it sends your score to the server, and that's it. Then after that, your name will immediately scroll onto the screen if you have the high score, and it works pretty well. The only other caveat I should mention, some home routers are difficult to set up. Like I have AT&T UVerse, and you had to set up what's called a pinhole to allow the packets to get through. So we're hoping that we don't have a lot of troubles with that, but we can certainly put that on our FAQ and on our site.
And one of the other things that we did that was cool about the server, like Don said, is not only did we want to support the basic features that they did with the tournament package, but we wanted to make it easier to use and not require that weird hardware. Incidentally, while we were testing it, I got sick of running up and down stairs because my RFM machine actually sits in my basement and I develop in my office, which is on the other side of my house. So, you know, I'm running through two flights of stairs to test something, running back upstairs. And Don and I got to talking one night. I said, this is dumb. I said, I want to be able to run this server on the same machine as my RFM. I got plenty of horsepower on my system. And we talked about it, and after about a half an hour of screwing around, not only can you run a server, but you can run it on your new core system. The neat thing about that is now if you want to host a tournament in your house and you have a new core system, you load the tournament server onto your new core machine, you can run internal tournaments without ever connecting to a network, or you can, like Don said, go into your router and point the incoming information, which we'll make available, to your machine, and we can all connect to your actual machine and store our scores. And this is really exciting because not a lot of people, I mean, I have a server at my house, some of you might, but not a lot of people want to dedicate computers such as servers. And if you've got the new core box, why not make it dual purpose and use it for both? So that's something that we're really excited about as far as a tournament server, being able to sit on the actual machine. Now, and I offer you to come into the vendor hall and actually see this all in action. It sounds somewhat technical and you kind of wonder what it'll do. It's much more self-explanatory when you come in and see it work. And like I said, we'll be running the tournament for the next couple of days, and hopefully a lot of you will sign up for it and get a chance to experience it. So come on out, stop out, and see it. On NewCore, other than the tournament, that was our big push for the 2.0 version. Now we're feature complete with the original. We went back and made some additional enhancements that have been mainly user requests, and one of them was a Don request that I didn't actually want, and he went ahead and implemented it anyway, which was kind of funny. But some of the other features that we've added is in the jukebox mode, you didn't have the ability to delete songs originally. Now we have the ability to scroll through the list of all the songs and individually mark single songs to delete. You can delete all the songs if you want to, which was another request. So you can go in and actually edit the jukebox list from the machine itself without having to get in any of the nitty-gritty. That was a requested feature. One of the additional requested features is while you're in jukebox mode, all the information displayed on the screen at all times, which is great if you got an LCD, but if you have a CRT, you don't want to get any burn-in. So now there's a timeout that actually blanks the screen after so many seconds, and you can set that. And you can turn that on or off. This is all user-controllable. One of the cool features, and again, this is one that I really wasn't too hot for, but Don went ahead and implemented and surprised me, was the feature of installing LEDs. When you install an LED in a Pinball 2000, if you've ever tried it, you get a report that that's a bad bulb, because of the way the Pinball 2000 tests. Don made a configuration file that when you install LEDs, you tell the machine where you have the LEDs installed, and then it tells the machine that they're good. So if you want to install LEDs, you'll no longer get a credit dot every time you come up, and every time you go into diagnostics, you don't get a long list of bulbs that are dead, which is actually a really neat feature. And I've actually installed, I think, 5 or 6 LEDs in my machine, so you can see that in action too. What did I miss as far as features? I knew I should have brought a cheat sheet with me because we added so many. We made some miscellaneous enhancements too, some speed enhancements, some ease of use, a number of things like that. You get a new loading screen in case anybody's sick of the old one. Different things like that. And again, it is in testing right now, so we hope probably within a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, assuming that we don't run into any major bugs, to get it out to everybody.
The jukebox random backup and random play.
This is another one we had a request for. One of our beta testers loaded 4,000 or 5,000 songs on his jukebox. And because he had 4,000 or 5,000, he wanted to play them randomly. And what he would do is he would sit there and hit the button. And actually, the guy helped us find a lot of bugs by doing this. He kept hitting the button real fast to try to find a song he liked. And what he'd eventually do is he'd skip over a song and go, you know, I missed it. Well, now the left button, when you're in random mode, will step you back songs. So in case you heard a song that you want to go back and listen to, you hit the left button and it'll back up through the list of songs that have played previously. So that's kind of a neat feature. But again, these are all minor features, again, compared to the tournament system, which is the major feature of 2.0. But we think you'll be very excited about it and happy. You know, it's a free upgrade, by the way. We were asked today how much we were charging for 2.0, and you know, we promised to make most of our upgrades functionality-wise free, and this is another free one. So if you own NewCore, all you have to do is go to our site and download it. We'll have an install package with instructions, and it's actually very easy to install. Yeah?
Did you maintain the breakout game?
We did. The breakout game is still there. We haven't removed any features that we implemented yet. Does anybody, new core users, have you actually played the breakout game? Is anybody in here who doesn't know? I'm sorry?
I don't own it, but I play it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one week I got a little bored. I think I was waiting on a portion of code that Don was writing, and I wrote a breakout game that actually uses sounds from the machine. So if you play it on the RFM, it uses RFM sounds, and if you play it in the Star Wars, it uses Star Wars sounds. It's kind of fun. Neat little variation on it. As far as that's concerned, though, that's what's coming in 2.0, and again, you know, look for it very soon. And there have been a lot of rumors and a lot of things going around in the last year. It's been an exciting year for all sorts of reasons. So rather than continue to talk, I'm going to turn it over to everybody here, and we'll open it up for questions because I'm sure you have a lot of questions. Yeah.
Have either of you had access to Stern's top system, like, say, Pirates of the Caribbean on?
I actually had one installed on my Ripley's. Why do you ask?
Okay, because I was wondering if I've played with it just a little bit, and there's a lot of new features in it for running tournaments, like specifying a jackpot or fixed prize and playing and all that. And I was wondering how much of that's also in your system.
Gotcha. To start, good question. I was thinking of the actual LED bright on top. I wasn't thinking of it being a tournament system. That's a drugs, excuse me. As far as the tournament system goes now, what you have is you have any number of divisions, and this is set up on the server. So the server, you can specify, for example, my machine right now has a pro division, an amateur division, and a just general free play, casual play for people who walk up to play it. So you can specify different divisions, and it stores the scores, and currently it just displays a top 10, but that's available in software. That's all they did with the original system, and really that's all we've done. But as far as features like that, we've had a number of discussions with the old Williams guys and some of the Stern guys about tournaments and how, you know, to run cool things, and there have been dozens of ideas that have come up for doing cool things in tournament mode, and that's one of the reasons Don and I decided to release the server code as open source, is because a majority of that stuff will be done on the server side, and we want it to be a more exciting product. We think it's pretty exciting today, but we want it to be even more exciting and allow people out there with creative ideas or that even want to steal other people's ideas to add that to the server code so that, you know, one weekend we come along and somebody announces, hey, on my server, have you checked out this, you know, attack mode? We want to be excited. We want to be surprised by things like that. And what we'll do, too, by the way, is if people have ideas and they want to extend the server code and they need anything additionally from us, like a new packet that provides some information, we'll discuss it with them and we can add things like that to the client side, which is the new core side, because you will only have access at this point to the server software. I hope that answered your question.
The layout of the tournament display once?
The layout of the tournament display? The layout is we have two divisions. The class, you must have just come in. Oh, okay. Yeah, you play it once. You play one game, and it's a two-ball. We needed to make it quick since we only have one machine. But it's a two-ball, no extra balls, every setting as hard as it possibly can be, high-score tournament. The number one in the pro division wins that. The number one in the amateur division wins that. Did I answer your question? Okay. And if you have questions, feel free to stop by the machine, and you know you can obviously see it in action. But again, in order to get in the tournament, you need to sign up here. So since you're here, even if you don't plan on playing in the tournament, come and sign up anyway in case you decide to, because you will have need to sign up for our seminar. And it's $400 worth of software, and we're offering two of them. So, you know, and it should be some fun. Additional questions? Brian.
How involved are you guys going to be in redoing Wizard of Oz? Because Gene Cunningham said he's going to start in 6 weeks.
That's a loaded question.
That's not a fair question.
That's not a fair question. Kick him out. And the six-week figure I heard today, the fun thing about working with Nucor and working in this, working with Gene and working with Wayne and now working with Planetary Pinball, is we get to hear stuff that we're doing all the time that we didn't know we were doing. And it was kind of a case. We made a trip to Chicago about a month ago, Don and I did, and it was the day after Gene put out the video saying he had, you know, signed up with us to do Wizard Blocks. Well, there's a little truth to that, but he makes it sound everybody sitting here like it's a done deal and it's ready to go, and that's just not the case. I'll give you a little bit of quick history. Like I said, the last year has been kind of exciting for a number of reasons. Wizard Blocks is one of them. And what happened is, you know, we were at Expo last year, and I don't even quite frankly remember what we talked about, probably the drugs in play, but we had discussed wanting to do Wizard Blocks. And it's ever since we came out with Nucor, the natural first thing was, when's it coming out? Well, first of all, Wizard Blocks does run on Nucor. I'll say that officially today. We've already tested it. It actually runs. The software's not any better than any of you might have seen or heard, so it runs exactly as the Williams designers left it, with two modes and some generic shots to hit. One of our goals, obviously, was to get this done. And we've been waiting around for people to, Gene, to create Wizard Blocks, which he keeps saying he's going to do, and we hope he will, and maybe working with somebody else or by himself. Wayne was saying he was going to do Wizard Blocks. So we kind of stayed out of the mess for a while and just said, hey, look, guys, our stance is we really want it because we love Pinball 2000. And whichever you guys wants to do it, both of you want to do it, we don't care. We'll help you with the software side of it. You know, we'll make the software work. You get the play field built. Don and I don't know how to build a play field. My son can do it with Legos, but that ain't going to cut it for Wizard Blocks. So time went by. And Don called me up one day. He was talking to Wayne. I'll let Don tell this part of the story.
Well, Wayne basically said, you know, I guess I'm not going to get around to it. Why don't you guys go ahead and make it? So, you know, we kicked the idea around, and, you know, he was like, yeah, I'll help you. If you need parts, I'll help you. I've got the trademark. I've got the rights to do it. And we actually thought about doing it, but he was seriously thinking that we would actually make the play field and everything, all the parts, or buy them from him or Gene. And, you know, he was open to it. He was basically saying, I've got to concentrate on Medieval Madness, so go ahead and do it. And, you know, from there we talked to Gene. Gene was like, yeah, all right, you know, you guys can do it, and I'll kind of help out. And we went to Williams as well. They were okay with it. And, you know, we were thinking about doing it. It's a big job, though, to make a play field and all the parts. So we got bogged down, basically.
Well, and we're not ones to just sit down and say, okay, we want to do Wizard Blocks. Let's see, play fields are $1,000. This will be about $1,000. We actually went through a very formal process. And the formal process started with, first of all, Don and I discussing it. And it was more or less Don calling me up once a month and saying, are we going to do Wizard Blocks yet or not? And I'd say, no, I think you're crazy. Leave me alone. And he'd come back, and then one day I called him, and I said, I think we should do Wizard Blocks. And he's like, are you crazy? And I'm like, yeah, I am, a little bit maybe. But then we discussed it, and we said, okay, here's what we got to do. You know, we obviously don't know anything about building a play field. You know, I've rebuilt machines, Don's rebuilt machines, but that's the extent of it. If somebody provided us all the parts, we could put one together, but certainly not qualified for manufacturing. So we had to go out, and we had to find somebody that would help us actually manufacture it. And we went out and discussed it with a number of people and brought some people on board. And it got to that point. And then we said, okay, well, we've got people for manufacturing. You know, we've got this. We need to get a bill of materials together and actually hard cost this before we even talk to anybody about it. And we said to Gene, said, hey, can we come down and borrow one of your prototype play fields for a couple months? And he kind of said, so, you know, finally cornered him one day, and I said, Gene, I need one of your playfields. He said, why don't you just come down here for a few hours? I said, well, you know, it's not going to cut it, Gene. We need to actually hard cost it out. And then he gave us, in his best way, his Gene estimates and of what it would cost us to make. So at that point in time, you know, we're sitting there thinking about it. We're like, well, okay, before we do this, before we start even creating the bill of goods, let's go let's talk to Wayne and say, Wayne, we're going to do this. Wayne said, okay, great. You know, if you need any help, let me know. And we went to Gene and said, Gene, we're going to do this. And Gene said, okay. He said, I'm busy with Kingpin. And then we said, well, we better ask Williams. And we went to Williams, and surprisingly enough, Williams said, okay. And it was funny because a number of people have actually approached Williams about doing Wizard Blocks and been turned down. So we kind of expected being turned down too, and we're kind of quite surprised that they gave us, you know, a verbal okay. And then at that point, you know, it was time to really decide to get into it, so we went back to the bill of material. And that was around the Michigan Pinball Expo time frame, and things started getting a little weird, and the environment started getting a little weird, and, you know, we were finishing up NewCore 2.0, so we kind of put it on the back burner just a little bit. And then next thing we know, I heard a rumor 2 months ago. This is kind of funny. Somebody called, and people just out of the blue call me up and say, Chuck, did you hear this? Because they think I'm going to know. And I said, no, but thank you for the rumor. And then I tried to go verify it. And we had heard 2 months ago that Wayne was actually going to sell his rights to Rick and two other people. So we called up Wayne. I actually had Don call Wayne. And Wayne said, no, I'm not going to sell the rights. He said, I'm not against selling the rights, but I'm not going to do it. And then 2 days later, he said, I want a full accounting of NewCore stuff, and I want all your checks, and I want all this. And I'm like, wait a second here. You know, something's going on. He's never asked us for any of this before, so it looks like Wayne is going to be doing something. And then we found out this last week that, indeed, it did happen. And actually, we asked Wayne about it again. He didn't deny it, but he didn't admit to it. So, and in the last week also, by the way, we have talked to Planetary Pinball with Rick and Matt. We were surprised they had time for us so quickly, but that's actually kind of exciting, too, going forward. You know, the possibility of having somebody here in the States that will hopefully get along better with Gene than Wayne did, and vice versa. You know, hopefully they'll work in a partnership versus an adversarial sort of way. But the long and the short of this story is to finally get down to it, Brian, is we had permission, we kind of have it, sort of, but in talking to Planetary Pinball this last week, we decided, and we told them our story. We said, hey, we are not pinball manufacturers. So we'll tell you the same thing. You know, if you guys want to make the play field, we'll do the software side of it. And so as soon as things start settling down a little from that, we'll see where we go from there. But currently, we're not, the thought of the project is still in everybody's mind, but we're not going forward with anything right now till the dust clears.
The other big question is to do we finish the game or sell it as is?
And I say there's no way in hell that anybody would be happy with a game as is. But there's an option that Don and I have discussed too, is that, and a number of people have discussed this, it may be that somebody like Planetary Pinball and or Gene and or a combination create the play field and release it to run under NewCore with the software as is. So you can buy the product. You can actually play it in its very, very limited form, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's very limited. And then when that process starts and we know it's occurring, we will start attacking finishing the code. And we have, by the way, already been in discussions with ex-Williams guys to bring them on board. So a number of people, Scott, one of our alpha beta testers and an extremely qualified resource, said, you know, I like Chuck and Don, but I don't want to play Wizard Blocks by Chuck and Don. It's a good point. You know, Chuck and Don have written games, but we have zero experience in actually writing pinball rules. So we had decided as part of our process that we better hire some guns for this, and we've taken care of that portion of it. So there is talent lined up that when Wizard Blocks would start to happen, it wouldn't be the Chuck and Don version of Wizard Blocks. It would be the so-and-so from Williams and so-and-so from Williams with Chuck and Don finishing it. So, yeah.
So, okay, Chuck, based on what you know as far as the materials, can you give us a ROM? What do you think we're looking at cost-wise?
We never got there. You know, we had estimates, and the tricky thing about the cost with the bill of materials is who builds the playfields? Does Gene build the playfields? Does Churchill build the playfields? Does CPR build the playfields? You know, and
And how many,
and what's their finished goods cost to us? You know, if Gene builds the playfields, is he going to want to build them and charge us or whoever makes him $600 a playfield? Well, you know, then it's going to be a damn expensive game. But, you know, if a Churchill or somebody makes them and makes them less expensively, we don't have a hard number. We have rough estimates, and I don't think anybody's going to be able to pull it off in a kit form. And this is just talking for a playfield for anything less than $5,000 to $7,000. And that's just it's an educated guess, but you know, we'd like it to be as inexpensive as possible because the less money it is, the more people that have it. And that's the goal. The goal isn't to get rich off making it. It's to get everybody a game that they want, including us. I mean, you know, we're the first two people who would want it, and that's why we've even pursued this. But there are some realities, and the realities are the economics of scale. If we make 100 Wizard Blocks playfield, they're going to be stupidly expensive, and nobody will buy it. Well, a handful of people will buy it. But if we can make 1,000 of them, and I'm just throwing that number out arbitrarily, you know, maybe we can get the cost down to $3,500 a play field. You know, it just depends. But these are all just sky in the pie. There goes the drugs again. Pie in the sky estimates, and they're not based on any real hard numbers right now. So, unfortunately, Bill, we don't have a real good answer for you.
That includes your man hours for the development work that you guys do as well.
Yes and no. You know, the 5 to 7 was going to include our man hours for the development work. But, you know, it's really hard to say. And I think in the end, it would probably break down, I think for sanity's sake, unless somebody came along and said, look, you know, I got $1 million I'm going to sink into this thing. Ideally, this is the way it would happen. Somebody comes along with very, very deep pockets and says, I'm going to front all the money. I'm going to build 500 units and I'm going to pay you guys to finish the software, you know, a reasonable rate, and I will take any, you know, challenges, any money being out there. That would be the way I'd like to see it done. And if somebody's willing to step up and do that, that would be glorious. But, you know, until that's done, it's going to be a project basis, probably with deposits in the beginning, and you know how it works. Sir. And that's a really good question because, quite frankly, it is very 99 when you look at it. And as you know, and probably the reason why you asked the question is graphics technology is 1,000 times better today. People actually look lifelike on the screen. It's probably best, and we've discussed it with the old Williams designers and sat down. We wouldn't even probably use the base software, to be honest with you. You know, a number of people have come to us over the last months and say, you know, I've got Wizard Block source code, and we're like, we don't care. We have access to it too. Because the code is so old and it uses old, outdated technology, that what we would probably do is start, you know, with Nucore being the base and the engine behind Nucore, but write all new code for it. And all new code means that we would be doing new graphics, maybe even true 3D versus, you know, 2D, you know, how it's currently done. But you also don't want to lose necessarily the direction that Lawler was going with the game. So while you want to update it, do you want to change it so much that it's not the Wizard Blocks that everybody was thinking it was going to be? You know, there's a fine line to walk with that. And there's even been talks of involving Pat in getting him, you know, to be an advisor at a minimum. If, you know, he's willing to do it, maybe buy him a couple cases of beer and throw him a check and sit down. But it's a good question, very good question. And you want to remain loyal to the original concept, but you don't want to be stuck in the mud in that, you know, 20-year-old technology. Good question. Yeah.
Just take the Revenge of Mars layout and make it a completely new game.
That's a great idea. And actually, back when we created Nucore, and I've said this a number of times, the first hurdle with Nucore is, can we do this? And once we got past the can we do this and we actually did this, what's next? The next for me has always been, taking Nucor or taking RFM, and for Star Wars, for licensing purposes, we don't want Lucasfilms after us. So looking at RFM and adding new rules to it, maybe starting with a minimal game, a mode, if you will, that adds to it. It's a lot of fun to play and keeps progressing, but then later replacing the rule set completely with the same layout. So we've absolutely discussed that. And let's say nothing ever comes of Wizard Blocks, that it just gets too weird and nobody wants to make it. That's definitely a direction we'll go in. And a third direction we've considered going in is, why even mess with Wizard Blocks? Because it is kind of a mess. Why don't we take a look at doing a Medieval Madness 2?
Monster Bash.
Monster Bash on Pinball 2000. I mean, you want to talk about a great game. Let's take a Monster Bash, update it, and do 3D animated, characters in it. So that's something we've also considered.
I have a two-part question for you, not related to each other. First one is, when you use an LCD monitor, you have the fonts that were kind of jagged. Then the 2.0 you come out with, did you come up with a font softening? And the second question is, you were talking about possibly making a developer kit for Nucor, less one anyway, the regular game with the lots of what's left here.
The answer to part one is we already do what you're saying with the font softening. For people who don't know technically, is Pinball 2000 used pixel doubling both horizontally and vertically. So every pixel on there is actually a big block of four pixels. And that's especially when you run the LCD, you see that you never saw before, because a CRT does what's called interleaving. I'm getting a little too technical. But in the jukebox, if you take a look at our jukebox, that is anti-aliased, and we take advantage of that. So anything going forward would be written to take advantage of LCD. We would make it in mind that it still needed to look good on the CRTs, but we think eventually a majority of people will end up eventually replacing their CRTs with LCDs anyway. There will be LCDs very shortly, and they're already available. They're just really expensive, that have no backlight, the OLED displays, for example. Once OLED displays are on computer desktops, that'll be far superior to any CRT, and there'll be no objections, and CRTs will be dead anyway. So they'll go to that, and going forward, yeah, absolutely. The second part of the question, I forgot.
I'll take it.
Oh, developer kit. The developer kit was something we can see. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah,
you take
that one. I had discussions with Wayne even last year when that was brought up, and at first he was against it, but then he warmed up to it. He was like, okay, his biggest concern was he didn't want people using technology to compete against him. So, but I said, what about the guy that wants to make one in his own basement? He didn't have a problem with that. And I said, if you look at it, the guy will be buying parts from you, like it or not. I mean, a lot of the parts do come from Wayne that you buy, bumper caps and stuff. And, he was like, okay, well, as long as I get something for that, I don't have a problem with it. So making a software developer's kit, he was like, yeah, we could do that. You could even open source it and have the whole community build a pinball machine. He was fine with it. And we even bounced that off Rick over at Bay Area, and seemed like he was pretty warmed up to it, although he questioned, whether or not you get enough traction. How many people would really buy this is what he was saying. If I had a show of hands, I bet there's only two people in here that would try to build their own, given that whole thing. So it's difficult. I think we could do that, and I don't see a problem with it.
Well, to answer your question, a second part to it is we're going to do that for ourselves. There's going to be an API for us to use, but the trick is when I'm writing any API. Is making, and I think I said this last year, is making a version that developers can use is 50% of the work, and then making it available for somebody who doesn't have the source code to it is double the work. Right now, I've been writing a game, actually, for the iPhone for the last 6 months of my life, and we've developed all sorts of developer tools, and they crash every day. And every day, we go in and we have to hack something to make it work. So when you create tool sets to create games, you create them just so that you can use them and to make them polished and to make them idiot-proof, and not saying that anybody's an idiot, but when you don't have source code, you can't change anything. It's a lot of work, so.
Yeah,
Yeah, are we talking making it with, we give the guy the source code that drives the parallel port, basically, and then they're on their own, or are we trying to make something where they just type in a rule set? What were you thinking on that?
Probably the whole deal.
Okay.
Yeah, make a whole new game.
Possible. And the one thing with the planetary pinball is the landscape is once again changed. And we talked to Rick and Matt for about 2 hours last Sunday, I think it was. And we're kind of excited about the possibilities. So it has yet to be seen where this is going to go and what's going to come of it. But I definitely see, when talking to Wayne, when we first started to talk to Wayne, Wayne was very, you know, closed arm. I want this. I don't want anybody else to have it. And then towards the end of his ownership, he started getting a little freer with that. So we started exploring it. But I think Rick and Matt are much more open to ideas like that. So we'll see what happens. Next year when we're talking about this, we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah. So taking that thought about developer kits and bringing it back to, you said you had some ex-Williams talent lined up, but do you have access to the development kit or the tools for development that they had back then, so that they could take the old code and begin from there?
We don't. Well, you want to go ahead?
Wayne had offered me access to those tools. I'm not sure I want them. It was, you know, the stuff that they were doing, the way they did it was not, you know, modern day technology. So the graphics were all taking a bunch of JPEGs and you know, freeze frame animation. It would be a ton of work doing it that way. We could, with the, you know, software we have on Linux today, we could show videos full speed. It would be way better than what they had. And I don't even know if we could get the licenses working for the compilers that they had.
The tools are about 15 years old now, and I just looked at some code Don and I wrote about 15 years ago, and the difference today in the technology is absolutely night and day. So I can almost certainly say we would want to use none of the tools, including the compilers. And in talking to the guys, they did a great job, and I don't want to say anything bad about what they did back then, because for what they had to work with, it was state-of-the-art at the time, and it was just really a cool system that they built. But if Williams was still in business and Pinball 2000 was where pinball took off, they would have rewritten it by now, or it would have morphed into something different today than it was back then. And a lot of the designers that we've talked to, every once in a while, I'll talk to them, and they say, oh, that junk code, they laugh about it. And it was great code back then, but they also realize that if Pinball 2000 is to continue forward, it would be a new platform, again, based on new core, but using new tools and things of that nature. Other questions? Okay. Anything that anybody'd like to see out of new core in the next year, since we have another year to kill? Great. We're happy that everybody... Yeah, go ahead. Bill.
Okay, so to add to your jukebox... Video jukebox, music video jukebox. I've got thousands of old green music videos. It looks great. Resolution.
As a matter of fact, Bill bought one of my machines. Actually, Bill bought two of my machines off me. And Bill saw Nucor for the first time and said we ought to add that, and actually provided some code to do it. It's something, actually, Scott back there is requesting since day one, the video. And I told Scott the story, and I think I told you part of the story. MPEG is a standard, is a very loose standard, and the problem is you can write a crappy MPEG decoder, and we've been through them, or you can write a really robust MPEG decoder that takes in all these junk encoders, garbage output, and actually doesn't crash when you try to play it back. So it's a trick, and as you provided that code, it's something I've set on, and we will probably take a look at it. Again, our focus over the last year has been the tournament mode. And we wish we would have been done with that earlier, but Don, due to his work, I just told some people earlier, he's been working 8 days a week, 26 hours a day. So Don's resources have been super limited, and he likes to see his kids every once in a while. So hopefully, as soon as he frees up, and we're going to take a little break from 2.0, quite frankly, but then when we hit it again, hopefully we'll be able to hit a little harder. And that is one of the things that a lot of people would like. Yeah, go ahead.
But I know Brilliant's Man's 1999 of the P2P special system or special software to maintain the hardware in the P2P system. Has you planned any time to took this point and to extend the ecosystem for supporting these special testing software or testing tool?
I don't know that I'm familiar with what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a special interface. I think it's the same interface for updating the code, the flash code. And there's also on the hardware PCB, it's a small LED, but it has actually no function. And as I far I know, it must be planned to support the technicians with a special software to test the board in the PK system, but it's, it was never programmed. It wasn't finished.
You know, none of the guys that we've talked to about it have ever said anything about that, so I'll have to ask them. Quite frankly, that's new to me. And we've talked to them, and we'll probably see some of them here, and that'll probably be the first question I ask is, what is this thing that you guys were talking about doing? Because honestly, it's the first I've heard of it. So, yeah.
Is there a women's division in
there's no women's division, but I'm sure you'll do very well in the amateur division, so... Ron shaking his head, no, she won't. Now, we have the two divisions. Quite frankly, the tournament is only people sitting in this room right now are eligible to enter. So your chances are actually very good for everybody sitting in here of getting a free Nucor base package. So please sign up. Even if you own one, sign up. You know, it's $400 worth of hardware and software, so definitely cool to have. That's coming up next. Don is the hardware guy, and that's all hardware stuff. And as soon as Don gets me a prototype board, as soon as Don has a break, Don, the man's been working very hard on 2.0 besides working hard at work. And as soon as he gets a break and actually gets me the prototype hardware for the shaker motor, I'm going to do the programming behind it. So that... The shaker motor is something definitely that's next, and the Billung stuff would be shortly after.
As far as your solid state drive goes, does that just affect the load time, or is it all throughout the AMC?
It really only affects the load time because with Nucor we load everything at load time. So all of it's loaded into RAM, so the only advantage you get is loading up. Better durability, you can drop it, although quite frankly, I think the hard drives are generally fairly durable nowadays, but the solid-state drives are cooler than hell. They're very fast, they're really quiet, and, they're neat. Yeah.
Two dreams. One would be real simple, just where I can get, like, a text file or some kind of access to memory that if I want to develop something on the side that uploads my current score to Facebook or my Twitter account or something like that, I could. And then the other one's huge big thinking is I'd love to be able to write a pinball machine, a visual pinball, a future pinball, and when I get it just right, do something where I port my code and objects to something that I could run into for, and that if I ordered parts from a machine or something, I could actually do it all in one step.
Part number one actually is quite, I'd never thought of integrating it to Facebook. I have a Facebook account, and that would be really cool. But that's something that's very easily done. As a matter of fact, if you'd asked me that question 2 weeks ago, I might have integrated it in the server already. But that's something that can be easily added because on the server side of it, we send a packet with your first name, last name, division, and your score. So at that point that you receive that data and you go to do the insert to the database, you could also publish it to Facebook. You could tweet it. Although, I hope that nobody would follow PIN2000 tweets, so... It's possible, and people have done. I do strange things too, but it's great ideas, stuff like that. That in a year we want to come back and say, wow, did you see those things on Facebook? And this guy did something to interface to so and so, but very easily done. Scott, You'll sign up for the competition the second that I'm done talking. And we've got, which is, Don says, which will be a while. We've got forms right here and pens. So again, please, before you leave, sign up and hand us the form. You won't be able to sign up and hand us the form when you get down there. Hand it to us right now, otherwise you're not eligible. Yeah.
Have you had any thoughts about adding any more regional games to it?
Actually, yeah, we discussed it a little bit. I mean, the breakout game was, again, it was in the middle of me waiting for Don and being bored with nothing to do. And since I'm writing games full-time now, I don't have that kind of time. And, you know, when you spend 14 hours a day programming games, you just want to go, and, you know, watch Survivor or something at night. But definitely one of the first things we do with the API is write things like a breakout game, but integrate it into the pinball machine. So instead of, you know, just totally video, that you actually use a pinball to shoot at things on the screen. And that I've had an idea that I do want to implement, and I'm kind of excited about it. I'm just itching to do it. As soon as we take a 2.0 break, that's one of the first things that we do want to hit. Yeah.
So I played in the tournament at Expo 99, and I just want to check one feature, because seem to not mention it. I remember that when my game was over, not only did the score get transmitted instantly to the server, but I got back on my screen what my ranking was as of that moment. Is that feature already in?
It is already in. That's part of the code actually in the client, and the client code hasn't changed any from when you played in 2000, or 99, which is cool. You're going to play in this tournament? You need to. You got to play. You have to play in both of them. But yeah, that's exactly the same. So you'll get the same experience on the server side. We may later add things to that, but right now it works just like it did back then. Yeah.
So what's already on your New Core 3.0 wish list and/or to-do list?
New Core 3.0 wish list. Well, a lot of them have been requested today. Video is one that's requested. And that's probably not a 3.0 worthy feature. You know, these will be point releases. The shaker motor supports one high on my list. The Billung supports high on my list. And these would all be 2. Whatever releases. As far as a 3 release goes, I would consider a 3 release that we have a new mode to play. You know, that's what I would consider the next major milestone for NewCore. And at that point, the 3.0 software will be free, but anything game-wise that we develop past that, we will probably at that point charge for. So if we come out with new modes for it, that will be an additional fee. Not that much money, but you know, the 3.0 software itself will be free.
So I was going to say, if you do consider doing the video seriously, make sure you include the FLV extension. It's 90% of my entire thousands of live videos.
And even the worst trick with video, and it's kind of why I itch when anybody says video, is you have to support WMV, FLV, QMV, MPEG, you know, which MPEG layer, and it's just like, and we had such a problem with the MPEG 3 layer that just thinking about implementing all those different decoder layers just kind of makes me go, yeah. But it's something that, you know, again, and Bill's been some assistance to that. Bill provided some code that was used, I think, on the Xbox 360. Was that what?
It's the port of Xbox Media Center to all the devices.
Yeah,
classic Xbox port. And again, the thing is, they're leveraging like the FFmpeg library, which does all that decoding and handling, and gives you the robustness of your airplane. You completely eliminated that, because you just rely on that development team to keep that capability.
Exactly. And we have a standard whenever we do code, we don't want to add a feature that's going to crash NewCore. We're dead set against crashing NewCore, and that's what we ran into with the MPEG 3 stuff, and we don't want to add libraries. We had the most popular Linux library in use today for decoding MPEG 3, and it's garbage. I'll tell you that right now. So we had to switch to another one. And it's not always easy, you know, finding the right library. And even though a library works on a consumer device, you don't realize when that consumer device resets or has a fatal error, because it just quickly recovers from it. On a pinball machine, when your lights go dim or they stay on, then it's a definite problem. So we have additional considerations when doing stuff like that. Yeah.
Actually, that just raised a thought. So let's talk about green computing initiatives. The idea of server mode running on a pinball machine is awesome. Can you put the rest of the pinball machine to sleep, essentially, so that I leave it with it running 24/7?
We could, actually. We've not considered putting the pinball machine to sleep, but we certainly could. We actually put the pinball machine to sleep in a couple of modes. The breakout mode does it, and that's something we could definitely do. And see, these are – Don and I think up some cool stuff by ourselves, and guys like Scott that we talk to a lot think them up, but these are ideas, and you guys need to get on the forums and add these ideas because we do take our user input, and over half the features in 2.0 came from our users' request. Any more questions? And we'll take one more in the back. Yeah.
I think I remember this from Tilt. One of the, maybe it was George Gomez or someone, was saying they weren't happy with the way the points were displayed in the little boxes. Is that something you thought about doing maybe when you get to 3.0, like redoing the way some of the text and points are animated or displayed?
The thing we won't do, for lots of reasons, is we won't modify the existing software. So the existing, and I call it client software now that we have a server mode, the existing Nucor client, we don't screw with the original Pinball 2000 code one bit. It's absolutely original and it runs as is. So if we did games going forward, that would definitely change. But would it change RFM and Star Wars? No, that's kind of sacrosanct. We're not the, you know, we're not like George Lucas or Steven Spielberg that puts, you know, walkie-talkies instead of guns in people's hands. We believe in preserving the original, and that's kind of what we're doing. Okay, I've talked long enough. Everybody come on up here. We've got plenty of entry forms. We're going to start running the tournament tonight. Thank you.